korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
On my phone. I don't like it on my phone.
We're all like this,
eh? Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got Ween Dog, we got Tyler Smith, and we have one of the greatest fighters of all time, Eve Edwards, in the house. It's going to be a great show. We have a debate today. We have the great MMA debate. Eve, I didn't tell you, but Joe is our moderator, and it's between Hector Lombard, who is a huge Trump supporter.
Oh my God.
He already knows.
And Cody Gibson. Cody Gibson is the guy that got into a fight, bar fight, that said, Google me, bitch, back in the day. He's got wins over Manny Gambarian. He's a huge Bernie supporter. So we're going to have the great political debate here on the MMA Roasted podcast. Joe is our moderator. He came up with
not questions. Biased at all.
Not biased at all.
He came out with questions all night long. And Eve, you're going to be our judge, okay?
Okay.
I don't even know. I know that you voted for Trump, right? Didn't you vote for Trump?
I can't vote. I'm not an American.
Okay. Plus, I think you're a felon. But either way, it doesn't matter. Okay. So, listen, this is going to be you're not a felon, right?
You're always eating, man.
You got arrested for weed, right? Back in the day. Then you got arrested for weed.
Back. Who are you talking about?
Forget it. Okay, so not you. Was it Dean Thomas that got arrested for weed back in the day? You never got arrested for weed, no?
I never been arrested. I got arrested for a traffic fine.
Oh, that's.
You got arrested for a traffic? You didn't pay a traffic fine? They arrested your ass?
Yeah, in Texas. Oh,
that's
That's some fucking racist bullshit. Listen, okay, racist. So we're gonna have a great. We're gonna have a great debate today. I can't wait. Eve, how you doing during this quarantine? What's going on?
Nothing, man. I'm just sitting at home trying not to go stir crazy. But yeah, that's about it. There's really nothing going on. It's cool that Call of Duty Warzone came out. That's killing some time.
Nice.
Now you're in Maryland, right? You're in Maryland?
Yeah, right now I am.
Now, I never know where you live. Like, you live in L.A., and then you live in Georgia, and then you live in the Bahamas. How many houses do you – who are you? Like,
I get around.
Like – I think we're friends, right? Like, you I invited my wedding. I've known you for years. You've been in my house. You've held my baby. You changed my baby's diaper. But then I'm like, you're like, oh yeah, I'm living in Austria. I've been here for 7 years. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, who are you, Eve?
I just get around, Adam.
He's living the dream.
That was one of the funniest.
Retired MMA fighter. He's got a cush job being a commentator. Why not travel, dude?
Nobody has jobs right now.
That
was one of the funniest things.
I just wish I had Kush.
That was one of the funniest things when we had Ponzinibbio on the podcast, and I was trying to talk to him, and his English wasn't great, and my baby was crying, and I go, Eve, can you change my baby's diaper? And you being a grandparent, you go over there, and my wife has a security camera. And she's like, who has our kid right now? She texted me, like, and I took a picture of you with blood all over your face from, like, one of the things. I go, this guy. She's like, what the fuck?
Just him.
So,
don't worry. I didn't try to eat your baby.
No, of course not. So, by the way, I was looking at your stats the other day. You're 2-0 as a boxer.
Yep. 2 KOs.
Why did you stop boxing?
Why did I stop boxing? Because of MMA? The UFC didn't want me doing any other fight sport.
Now, how did you love boxing as much as you loved MMA or no?
I love boxing. Yeah, I love all fight sports. And boxing was fun. You know, the other thing about boxing though is they kind of, you know, they give you guys that are like they try to build you in boxing. So it was fun. I mean, I did the Golden Gloves. I fought amateur for a couple fights, and then I never lost a boxing fight or a kickboxing fight. Amateur or pro, so that was cool.
How many kickboxing fights do you have?
Only 3, so it wasn't that many.
That's pretty badass, though, man. All these things. I didn't even know that you were in the NWA movie.
Yeah, and Ballers and
well, that I knew Lita, of
Battle Angel, and I'm gonna be in a new Avatar movie a couple of times.
Hey. What? What are you doing for that?
I can't say. I can only say I'm in the movie a little bit.
Now, what were you in the NWA movie?
Yay.
I was a part of the lynch mob.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so we got into that big fight when Ice Cube came down the stairs.
So you fought Tyron Woodley?
Yeah. Well, we avoided each other. You know, we ducked each other.
That's now, by the way, I heard that your boy Poirier made up with Colby Covington. Were you part of that like peace deal that went down?
No, I have no parts in this Colby Covington character that he's created. I don't want nothing to do with it. Yeah, I'll just leave it there. I don't want anything to do with it.
How long have you known Colby?
Since he first came to ATT. So when was that? I can't even remember the year. Probably like 2012, 2013.
So a good amount of time. So like in your eyes, what was the start of the demise of the character of Colby Covington?
Like, when he started doing this whole Make America Great Again spiel.
So it's like he became the bit almost. Like he just embraced the bit, or is it still a bit and like he, you know, goes to the gym and is normal and like what's the real deal? Because he won't give a straight answer.
Yeah, so I'm not in there every single day. The last few times I saw Colby, he was, you know, to me, face to face, he was respectful and you know, we don't have any beef. But the character, I just can't feel it. You know what I mean?
So American Top Team has a new rule that says no shit talking to each other unless you're fighting one another.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so did you know about that rule?
Don't know about that rule.
Yeah, yeah. No,
rules are bullshit. I don't care. You can't write something down on a piece of paper and tell me I can't do it. Get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah.
And then Dean Thomas left. You know that? Dean Thomas left.
Yeah, I know that.
He wouldn't tell us why. What happened? Give us some juice.
I can't, like, what he told me in confidence. So,
okay.
I can't.
That means what he told us isn't true.
So,
what did he tell you guys?
I forgot.
I know he told me, what he told me is he wanted to, you know, train other fighters. He wants to kind of do his own thing and not necessarily be under an umbrella. And I think that's what he told everybody. Like Dean's a straight shooter, you know? So like what he told you is what it is. I'm sure there's been some tension. The fact that, you know, he's Tyron's right-hand guy. He's Tyron's first second. And Colby's inside the gym every day, but they do get along, you know? I'm sure. Like, Dean is an actor also, so he can separate the reality from the myth. And he's at ground zero. So I'm sure he's found a place to put that on the shelf and be okay with all of that. But I just think it was more about what he needs and where he sees that he can still grow. And ATT has been a good place to be up until now, but now it's time to leave the nest and spread his wings.
So the MMA news right now is they're saying that Florida might be the place to have events because there's a kind of loophole in Florida where they're going to have events now.
A loophole.
And now they're saying that
Florida's a loophole.
May 9th is going to be Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. It's going to be Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz, Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer, and Ngannou versus Rozenstruik on the May 9th card. We don't know if it's going to be a fun fight island or it's going to be in Florida or it's going to be
nowhere. And it's not going to happen
in Tachi Palace. First of all, Eve, what are your thoughts about fighting during the pandemic? You think it should have happened? Thoughts on Fight Island? And then we'll go through that entire card. Who's going to win before we have this great
debate? My thing is like when the, you know, Khabib and Tony was supposed to happen on an island, and then Tony and Gaethje and all those things, that fight, when that was going to happen, I was really excited. But at the same time, I'm like, man, like, you got to fly in all these different people. The whole thing about social distancing and not having big crowds, and if one person, just one person, coughs in a room, all those people potentially get it. And I would believe that some, at least another person is going to get it. Then they're taking that somewhere else. And that's how shit spreads. I mean, we know that. That's why the whole pandemic, that's why we have the whole quarantine. It's like, it's really irresponsible. It's irresponsible as fuck to have all those people in one place and do that. Every other sport is shut down. The kind of whole world is on shutdown. And you know, if you, for the people who can't, like, not, who can't be alone, like, that's a problem. Like, if this thing ruins the whole summer, it's those people's fault. And, like, it's just one of those things where it's maddening and maddening as fuck. But at the same time, if that fight happened, I was going to watch it.
Right now, if you were if you were still fighting right now and they said, hey, Eve, you're fighting BJ Penn on Fight Island, would you do it during this pandemic?
So ask me that when I'm 27, 30 years old, I'm going to fight. Ask me that today, like, having hindsight, I'm just like, nah, like, it's not worth the risk.
Right. Right, right. Got, yeah, because it seems like all the fighters we talk to, everyone's like, yeah, I can't wait to go there. I'm an adult. I make my decisions. We get into a cage. We got to feed our family. It seems like that's what we're getting back. Aww. And I
understand yeah.
that. But I also understand the other part of, like, listen, nobody's going to die if this doesn't go on. Somebody might die if it does go on. So is the risk, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know, which...
I think the fighters have to decide that for themselves. Like, they're the ones that are potentially going to die. So
let's talk about the actual fights. Gaethje versus Ferguson.
Why would they go back to this fight? Why not just make it again Khabib versus Tony? Why go back and, you know, do Gaethje?
Can't get in the country.
It's main.
Why not just wait?
Because I think
Ramadan, because they need money. They want money.
But yes, they could still put on a banging card without Tony Ferguson fighting Justin Gaethje.
I'm fine with that, 100%.
I think they want Ferguson on the card. It seems like they want Ferguson to fight. Ferguson wants to fight. He's making weight anyway, he says.
Yep.
Make weight for, like, next week anyway. That's
so
how
here, he's going to have my thoughts on this.
What?
Here's my thoughts on this, Adam. Tony Ferguson is the biggest draw available right now. You know, Conor and Khabib are gone. Adesanya can't get in the country. Probably can't leave New Zealand. I don't know what their protocols are over there. I would put Tony Ferguson right after all those guys as far as draw. Who else is bigger?
Nate.
But, like, what fight do you have for Nate?
Exactly. None.
Masvidal rematch.
No, you're saying in the UFC or in that weight class? You're talking about who's
in the UFC?
Oh, John Jones is the biggest draw, one of the biggest draws.
He's one of the biggest draws, but, like, what fight is on the table for John right now?
The fight against soberness or sobriety, fight against the Albuquerque Police Department.
I don't know if the Albuquerque Police Department can pass a physical.
It's a good point. Ferguson said he's still making weight for April 18th. Is he going to have the weigh-ins and the stare down by himself? Because I can picture him, like, in his house with a scale.
And 100%.
And, like, I can picture him walking to, like, a, like, down the street, like, pretending it's an actual, like,
dude, 100%. He's gonna have a stare down with his Bob boxing bag.
Yeah, tell me you can't see that happening.
Or, like, tire, just him in a tire.
I
absolutely can see that happening.
So, all right. So, but as far as the actual fight goes, who do you like as far as winning? If you were to pick Gaethje or Ferguson.
I can't pick against Tony Ferguson. If Gaethje were to win it, I wouldn't be blown away. But he would have to win it early. He would have to clip him and punish him. But yeah. Like, Tony is the kind of guy, once you start hitting him, like, if you rock him and he doesn't go down, he's not going down. He's going to recover. He does smarten up. He won't land the same shot again. And he's just vicious, you know. Gaethje has to stop him in the first two. Possibly in the third, he might have a shot. But after that, he's just going to be so beat up and cut up. I just don't see it happening.
Did you ever train with him?
Who, Gaethje or Tony?
Either.
Actually, I haven't trained with either of those guys.
Oh, I was interested because people say he has the most bizarre training methods.
More bizarre than Tony Ferguson?
No, Ferguson has the most bizarre. Yeah, yeah. Okay. People, like Alan Jouban said he trained with him and it was just weird. Like the things he was doing, the warm-ups were weird. The actual training was weird. He didn't say it was bad. He didn't say it was like not effective. He just said it was just very unconventional.
All over the place, probably.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me like Tony, especially when he does like, you know, he does his open workouts and it's some breakdown. Like he just does whatever his body is feeling at that moment is what he's going to do. So there's no like, all right, I'm doing 30 squats. It's like he'll start to do a squat and be like, I'm going to roll over my shoulder. And then like, oh, my body wants to go to this. And it comes out when he's fighting too.
I would pay to see him.
He's like, ugh.
I think a good reality show would be him and Diego Sanchez's coach in like a practice. Just to put a camera there, see what happens, you know?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that guy? Have you ever went to the school of self-awareness, Steve?
No, but I've seen some small clips and videos. And it's strange to me how a guy with as much fight experience as Diego Sanchez can fall into one of these like empty hand kind of guys. You know what I mean? Just the things he does doesn't make sense. I'm really jealous right now of Tyler.
I'm sorry, Eve. I'm sorry.
You can't get weed in Maryland? All right, so also on that card, Henry Cejudo, Dominic Cruz. I would love Dominic Cruz to pull off the upset here. That would make me so happy. I'm a big Dominic Cruz fan.
I want anyone to pull up the upset against fucking Triple C.
I just like Dominic Cruz as a person. I just like him. I think he's a good guy. He doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks. He'll tell you how he feels. And he's a solid guy. He's like a non-bullshitting guy. Like you get what you see with Dominic Cruz. And he works his ass off. And he's come up, you know, short as far as injuring himself all the time, which is
so much. So yeah. He would be in the conversation for the greatest mixed martial artist. Like he would be in the George St. Pierre conversation if he didn't get hurt, I believe.
Really?
I really believe that because like look at how often he got hurt and how he looks every single time he comes back.
Yeah.
You know? Dominic Cruz is probably the most dedicated mixed martial artist who's actually gotten to the top, but just hasn't really gotten to shine his full light on the sport, man. Dominic Cruz is a special kind of guy. That's real.
I think that he still could be in that conversation because who knows? I mean, he's said it before, and I've had this thought where he's basically been off for five years, give or take, with all the injuries, and it's like, yes, he was recovering, but he wasn't going through the battles in the gym. He wasn't pushing his body to the limit every day training for fights. It's like he was doing just enough to maintain and make sure that those injuries healed. And then 8-week camp, 10-week camp, fight, injury again. So it's like this weird, you could almost like the running joke right now in the jiu-jitsu community, I'm sure you've seen the memes, is all the upper belts, all the older dudes like me and you, like, oh, we're stuck inside, but our injuries are healing. So, like, we're going to come back and not have missed a beat because it's like the experience is there, and now our bodies are finally catching up.
Getting to rest, right.
So, that, I mean, you know, there's something to be said about that. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, but I think he can still, personally, I think Dominic Cruz can still make a name for her.
What do you think? What do you think it was about Cody Nolove when it came to Dominic Cruz that he just had his number bad matchup?
I think he had his number as a bad matchup because of Cody's fundamentals. I think Cody's fundamentals are stronger. Dom has solid fundamentals. I think Cody has a solid boxing base. Of course, he can wrestle. You know, and the footwork thing. Dom has created his own footwork. Meanwhile, Cody's footwork is what boxing is all about. You know what I mean? So, like, he was just able to outmaneuver him and just do whatever he wanted to Dominic Cruz in there because his fundamentals are so solid. I think he does that 10 out of 10 times. that triangle that they have between those two and TJ Dillashaw, I wouldn't be surprised if that just kept running the same way every single time, because that's nothing. Cody gets wild when the fire gets hot. Cody gets wild.
By the way, so we have Cody Gibson just joined us. Cody Gibson is a former UFC fighter, got some huge wins over Manny Gambarian, right? You won quickly in that. What was that, 30-second win, Cody?
No, that was Johnny Bedford. Manny's the one I was winning, and then I got choked at the very end of the second round.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Johnny Bedford, you won in 30 seconds. I knew it was. You had a very impressive win. But you're an awesome fighter from Northern California, also a history teacher.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yes.
And a wrestling coach.
What history, Cody? U.S. history, world history?
I taught U.S., world. I teach AP U.S. now. I've taught civics and econ.
Nice. Yeah. I like how this is sounding. Civics, too? Like, heck do I need a lesson in civics?
And you were also a big Bernie Sanders supporter. You were going door to door for Bernie, right?
I did. I just did it a couple of times, but I canvassed for him a couple of times here locally.
Nice, nice. Well, listen, man. Sorry that your boy lost, but
way it goes sometimes.
That's the way it goes. Cody, Cody's a badass fighter, badass wrestler. He won his last fight against Gustavo Eric. He beat Kyle Reyes, tough guy. Lost to Manny Wright. Lost to Douglas Silva. Beat Johnny Bedford. Lost to Aljamain Sterling by unanimous decision. Tough guy. Very, very tough guy. As well as the legend Hector Lombard just joined us. Hector Lombard. He's obviously a Bellator legend, UFC legend. Now he's a bare-knuckle boxer. Huge Donald Trump supporter.
Well, he's gone now. Where'd he go?
He just left.
All right, that was the end of the debate, ladies and gentlemen.
Cody, man, you scared him away. So we are going to have the first political debate on MMA Roasted. My man Ween Dog is going to be our moderator.
That's me.
Eve Edwards is going to be one of our judges. Tyler's going to take bong hits throughout the whole thing.
I am.
For the ride. I don't know where Hector went. But
thank you for you too, Eve.
Cody, you seem a little drunk. Have you been drinking all day?
Nah.
I'm fucking drunk, dude.
Nah. All right.
Ever since this quarantine, I've been waking up and just drinking beer, and that's all I've been doing every single day, dude. I'm freaking drunk as fuck right now.
Nice, Joe.
Okay, so we have a drunk moderator. All right, so Joe, Joe, take it away. To start the debate, we have Hector Lombard, big Trump supporter, bare knuckle boxer, huge UFC fighter, legend, and Cody Gibson, my man, also in the UFC. Joe,
can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is he a Bernie supporter?
Yes.
Bro?
I wanna say before we starting, you should feel ashamed of yourself.
Oh my God.
Supporting Bernie Sanders. It's a joke.
This is gonna be so good.
This is already off the rails. All right, I'm gonna start the debate. Okay, everybody.
Hector, this is a debate. We have to. Okay, this you don't have to start before the debate started.
Keep it simple.
I appreciate the passion. Okay, Ween Dog, take it away.
All right, welcome everybody to the 2020 MMA Roasted Presidential Political Republican versus Democrat debate. My name is Ween Dog Maddow, and the rules of the debate is simple. Everybody has 90 seconds, or each person has 90 seconds for their answer to the question. There are a total of 10 questions, and we can go to rebuttals if necessary, which I think will be necessary. So with seniority lies Hector Lombard, so he will be given the first question, and this is the opening statement. So Hector Lombard, why or why not do you support President Trump?
Can I say before anything my statement before the question?
Sure.
What?
Okay. All right. Thank you. I wanted this guy. He should feel shame of himself for supporting a communist guy. That's all I'm gonna say. Go ahead.
Okay. Your time starts now.
All right.
90 seconds. Why or why not do you support President Trump?
I support Donald J. Trump for so many different reasons. One of them is small government, which is like from having a small government, we as people have a lot more rights. When you have a big government, we as people have less rights. Just take a look what's happening in China. So Republicans are what is at this point. So yeah, I'm gonna support anyone who is a Republican. Anybody else is against this country, including Bernie Sanders.
That it?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Cody, I'm gonna ask you the same question. Why or why not do you support President Trump?
I don't support President Trump because, you know, I think he ran on a populist platform in 2016, you know, the whole idea of like bringing jobs back to America. And I could really get past all of the, you know, the kind of presidential problems with him, the fact that he lies all the time and just his rhetoric, I guess. I could get past all of that. But if you actually look at policy,
you listen to CNN.
If you actually look at policy,
let's not interrupt him, Hector.
Okay.
He ran on a populist platform, the idea that he was going to save the Rust Belt. He was going to bring manufacturing jobs back to this country. And it's just not what we've seen. And while he's loved to tell, you know, high GDP, low unemployment rate, a great stock market, when you actually look at the discrepancy and the differentiation between wage, between those that have and those that, just because I have a job and I'm not included in unemployment, if you give me two really shitty jobs that don't allow me to support my family, you know, it looks good on the unemployment rating, but that's not in reality helping Americans. And there's so many Americans that are struggling as a result.
Hector, right. Your response?
Say it again?
Do you have an answer for that?
I do. First of all I can see is a lot of hate, and it's a lot of kind of like, it's just a CNA copy what this guy is just mentioning about. You know what I mean? Yeah, he has bring a lot of jobs. Yes, he has bring so much to this country that was missing. I remember when Obama was the president, you know, the guy would go to other countries and apologize to the whole world. Shame on this guy. Like, how can you apologize to everybody? For example, like going to Japan and apologizing to Japan. Like, dude, these guys bomb us. They sank so many airplanes and destroyed the whole Hawaii, basically. And then you're gonna go and apologize to these Japanese. It's a joke, but you know, my point is, you as an American, it should be shame on supporting Bernie Sanders, a guy who would bring so much taxes that it would be impossible to pay that back. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like Bernie Sanders, when you take a look, the packages that he was mentioning, it would add to $40 trillion. We only bring him back only $2 trillion a year. With education, free healthcare, and the nonsense that he wanted to bring, it would add it up to $40 trillion. How can you pay that? Is it possible?
Okay, Hector, I'm going to allow Cody to respond. I will give him 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Okay.
I kind of went off the rails. He didn't really answer my question about Donald Trump. But you know, if you actually look at manufacturing numbers, I'm going to stick to the actual first question. We can talk about Bernie later if you'd like. You look at places like Michigan, Ohio, U.S. Steel is a good example, but they're all on the decline. They're at lower numbers. They have lower capacity today than they did back when Trump was elected. And this isn't like something that's debatable. It's just fact.
Can you give me the number? Can you give me a exact number?
Can I give you the exact number?
Yeah, can you give the exact number?
Yeah, I've seen the graphs that show manufacturing jobs in these areas have all declined since 2016.
Don't repeat what CNN says.
I don't even watch CNN.
Try not to interrupt each other. This is a presidential debate.
Okay.
Very formal. Continue, Cody.
Well, the point being is that, while, you know, the areas of economic growth that, you know, do indicate a strong economy, GDP, unemployment rate, those type of things have grown, the average American isn't reaping those rewards. 80% of the stock market is owned by 10% of the population. So for the average American, which is what I consider, I don't give a shit about Republican, Democrat. I don't care about any of that. I wasn't a Barack Obama supporter. So you kind of brought him up there for a minute. My basic idea is that the working people of this country, that's why I consider myself populist.
You say you support Obama?
No.
So who you support?
Currently, I was supporting Bernie Sanders. I felt like he was the best candidate that could impact my life in a positive way.
How can you support a communist guy?
He's not a communist.
What is he?
Whatever. I mean, he's essentially a left. He's left of center. He's not near. I mean, the political spectrum from right. If you look at a political compass test, for example.
I love the way you talk, and I love the way you express yourself, but you don't make sense. Okay.
Oh, okay, gentlemen. Oh, okay, okay. Wow. Oh, gosh.
Let him go a little bit.
Let me finish. If you're supporting a guy, you have to know what the guy stands for.
I do know.
You know, you're gonna support a guy and kind of like say, like, oh, well, I don't know what. You support the guy? I don't know. I support everything that Donald Trump does. I support everything.
Twitter. Question from Twitter. So, yes.
Okay.
So, Twitter user Smithero391 says, "Hey, Hector Lombard said that Bernie's thing would cost us $40 trillion. What do you say to that, Cody McKenzie? ...
It's not Cody McKenzie, but okay, thank you.
What?
I don't know where he's getting that. I don't know where he's getting $40 trillion from.
Cody Gibson. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Cody Gibson.
All right, so, you know, I just got to mention just a little bit, okay? Medicare for all, $17 trillion, okay? Green New Deal, $16 trillion. Housing for all, $2.5 trillion. Cancer student debt, $1.6 trillion. Universal child care, $1.5 trillion. Call is for all, $500 trillion. I mean, the shit's going crazy.
$500 trillion.
$250 trillion. I made a mistake. I agree with you. So I have the numbers here. So
when you're adding it up,
Bernie Sanders, we add a $40 trillion to the fucking economy. Okay? You know, let me ask you a question. How much the economy brings every year? Between jobs and
how much revenue
we bring every year.
So how much does the government collect in taxes? Is that your question?
Obviously, you don't know.
No, I said, are you asking how much the government collects in taxes?
Yes, that's the question. Yes.
I don't know the exact number. What is it?
Okay, so it's 1.6, okay, almost 2 trillion. So how come with $2 trillion we're bringing back to the country, okay, you got to overtake a $40
trillion. Hector, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So since you're so concerned about the national debt, it seems like, how upset are you at Donald Trump that the national debt has grown during his administration?
Say it again?
Since you seem to be so concerned about the national debt, I was wondering how upset you are with Donald Trump since the national debt has increased under his administration.
Increase since when?
Since 2016.
Is this pandemic? No. Bro, you know, have you seen the news? Obviously, you see the news. You know, you see the jobs adding to the country, you know, like they're bringing all these companies coming back. And, you know, this is one thing that I want to ask you, okay? And I want to ask you as a normal conversation. I'm not going to go, like, you know, specifically well-pronounced like you want to go for. I just want to ask you, okay? Bernie Sanders want to tax the shit out of everybody. All these companies will get taxed 52%, okay? Be with me, 52% is going to be taxed. You know, if all these companies get the fuck out of here, which is the will, you know, you're not going to have a country left. where are you going to go? Because they're all going to go, and they're going to get somebody to work for them in any other country.
Cody, was he trying to tax everyone?
What's going to happen to – yeah, when you tax the shit out of everybody, what's happening? They're all going to leave.
Cody, response?
He's talking about if we tax corporations like they appropriately should be taxed.
I'm talking about taxing all these companies that he wants to. He wants to tax all these huge corporations.
He wants corporations to pay taxes like everyone else? Yeah. What's the question?
Let me ask you a question. If all these companies leave the country, okay? All right? They go to
They're
Japan.
They're already leaving
they go
the
to
country.
Europe. No.
Leaving the country.
They left with Obama because Obama didn't give a break to anybody. They left with Obama. They're all coming back.
They're coming back?
They're all coming back with, you know, with Trump, as you noticed.
All right. My question, Cody, how do you think Trump has handled this pandemic?
Whoa. I got the question. This is all just question one, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
Is question number two. Okay, so can we move on to question two now? God damn.
Question number two, go.
All right. In this question, I'll let Cody respond first. The coronavirus pandemic has dominated the headlines within the past couple of months. President Trump has been criticized for not acting quick enough to combat the virus, while others are saying he's doing a fantastic job. What is your overall opinion on how the Trump administration has handled the coronavirus pandemic thus far?
Says who?
Hold on, order.
It's Cody gets to answer. Cody, you get to answer first.
I think it gets
into my nerves.
All right, we're going to give him 90 seconds to respond.
I want to answer that question.
No. You got the first one.
Hold on, Hector. You got to wait your turn.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I think that some of the critique on, you know, Trump, and that's one of the problems with the media that I do agree on with the right and the progressive wing of the left. If you blame Trump for everything, then it's almost like Trump, you know, it becomes so watered down when he actually does do something wrong.
Let me answer the question.
Hold on, man.
He has 1 minute left.
Hey, hold on, MAGA.
Hector, you've got to wait your turn, man. Everybody can't talk. You can't talk over it.
God damn, I just gave him 15 more seconds.
Hey, we're going to get our turn, brother. We're going to get our turn, okay?
All right.
We'll get him.
All right, continue, Cody.
So anyway, the media, if you blame Trump for everything, then when he does do things that are wrong, it has less of a sting because it's just like the left, just, you know, the left, the corporate media blames him for everything. As far as the coronavirus goes, I think so far, you know, again, everything's going to be easier to look at. In hindsight, it's always 2020. The travel restrictions were obviously a good thing.
Thank you for admit that, because CNN doesn't admit that one.
Well, you're welcome. Trump's initial dismissal of the virus, though, is also a real thing. I know the representative in my district, Devin Nunes, who's a big Trump crony guy, he was on national news, several syndications, talking about how people need to go out to the restaurants and how schools shouldn't be shutting down for only a week and they should be back up and running. I mean,
that's not Donald Trump's fault.
I'm not saying that's Donald not Trump's Trump thing Trump. About how he responded to the virus. He was very dismissive in the early
days. Can you give me the microphone, please?
All right, here's a microphone, Hector. That was 2 minutes, so we're good.
First of all, I just want to say every little thing that Trump does, fake media news got to go and spilling around, okay? Because I remember when he closed the entries to the China, okay? The fucking fake news when it's, you know, he's a racist. If he wouldn't close the entry to America, we'd be all fucked today, right? But I guess they don't say that. I guess they don't say that in their fucking news. They just kind of like talking so much shit. Now, they've been rallies.
And I agree with you, Hector. I'm glad he closed the border. I agree.
Okay. I at least you know, like CNA, because they don't want to say that shit. They just kind of like walking around and say, like, oh, how are we going to fucking attack this guy now? Because basically, he did it all right. But guess what? They go back and they say, like, well, he didn't act fast enough. I'm like, dude, how are you going to say he didn't act fast enough when he was the first guy that got criticized for closing the entrance to America? Because there were a lot of people sick coming in. If he wouldn't done that, we would be all fucked up right now. Who would it be?
That's right.
So I want to say like people in general, and I don't want to talk about, you know, all these globalists and all these people at the top, they want to control us and they're using as a puppet the celebrities, and they're using as a puppet the public figures to control us. Trump is the only person that we have left. You know, Trump is a guy as a president that doesn't have any donors and doesn't have any super PAC controlling him. And he's the only person that has been fighting for you and I. And I want everybody, whoever's listening to us, understand that part. This guy is coming for real, and this guy is coming to defend us. And he's the only person that we have left. Because I'm telling you what, take a look what's happening right now.
Drain the swamp, baby.
Oh yeah, you know, he's draining the swamp. And it's a lot more is coming. It's a lot more is coming, but we got to defend that guy, man.
All right, Hector, I'm going to allow Cody to respond now. Cody, your rebuttal?
Yeah, I just don't see it that way as far as I agree with his media take, I guess. I don't know. You know, there were 36 countries that had already had travel bans on China when Trump initiated.
He did it first.
He was right in line with everyone else. I agree with the criticism from CNN. That's why I don't listen to mainstream media very much, other than I'll listen to critique on mainstream media. I mean, he's not for me and you, Hector. I mean, if you look at his his budget.
What channel news you listen to?
I listen to just different online stuff.
Yeah, but what kind of
like independent?
I listen to like David Pakman and then Ben Shapiro. I sometimes will chime in on Kyle Kulinski, The Hill. I like those two.
Yeah, people. That he's actually pretty middle of the road. If he's listening to guys like Ben Shapiro, who's accused of being alt-right.
Ben Shapiro's for Trump. So you for Trump, right?
No, I just listen to him to hear a different perspective.
It doesn't make sense to me, because if I listen to a guy, I'm basically learning from the guy, and I just want to learn from the guy, and I like the guy, and I like whatever he like Trump, whatever he says, besides it's funny, I like it, you know? I like that he want to fight for the country. I like that, you know, he says bringing the jobs back to the country. I like it when he said, we cannot depend on China, and everybody's laughing at him. And now you see, like, you know, we're depending on China so much that he's fucking us. I like all that kind of things. You know what I mean?
Wingdog, Eve Edwards has a question.
Yes, Eve.
Right. I'll save my question for later. I like where this is going.
All right, well, we'll move on to the third question.
My man, Eve.
What's up, Hector?
My dude.
We're going to move on to the third question, all right, gentlemen? So far, this is probably the most professional debate I've ever witnessed, by the way.
Yeah, honestly. All right.
Hector, I will allow you...
He's setting on the pace. I mean, I don't understand, but okay, go ahead.
Hector, I will allow you to answer first to this third question. All right. President Trump has been accused of being a racist due to his use of the terminology the China virus. Is saying China virus indeed racist?
Bro, that's the biggest joke I ever heard in my life. You know, the flu came from China, and I call it Chinese virus. You know, you can take a look at all the virus, where it comes from, the Spanish flu, the Ebola flu, and all that came from where they came from. So here goes again.
From now Ebola.
He's calling it Chinese. Yeah, Ebola came from Ebola, Africa.
Yep.
So when you see what happened in the past and nobody gives a fuck about it, and now he said, oh, it's the Chinese virus, and here you are, these scammers, yeah, you are this freaking CNN. They had nothing to do. Just criticize Trump for every little thing that he says. Oh, it's racist. Meanwhile, this fucking Chinese is a fuck us, you know? Now, I want to give you a little bit of sample, right? Now, he cut the budget for the health organization, yeah. Okay? He cut the budget, all right? You want to bet that tonight, CNN, fake news, is going to go ballistic on the guy. It's going to go crazy on the guy. Oh, you know, you see, it's racist. He cut the budget off. Of course, these motherfuckers knew there was a virus over there. They didn't tell us shit. They let it go. And then a Chinese guy came here, infected us. How the fuck you call that? You know, so I don't believe that at one point, at any point, Donald Trump is racist. You know, I was watching Donald Trump's documentary a while ago, and it was a police officer. He was a black guy, and he was unemployed because he was cut off. He got employed by Donald Trump. He was working for Donald Trump, and he's still working for Donald Trump. That's a long time ago. Donald Trump was criticized to employ black people at that time, and Donald Trump was criticized to employ women at that time. Nobody wanted to employ women.
Eves, you have something to say?
I have a question for Hector. So Hector, you can employ a black person or black people, and that does not make you racist. That means you're not racist.
I don't think so, because if you're really racist, you know, you don't want to see these people anywhere near you, right? That's what it's called, racist.
I mean, like, slave owners were racist, and they had a lot of black people around them.
Yeah, but you know, they're just working for you for free.
The owner of the Clippers is pretty racist, and he was the owner of the Clippers. There are a lot of black people in the Clippers. But anyway, Cody.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think.
Yeah, let's move on to Cody now. Cody, your answer is, let's try to stick to the actual question. Is saying China virus, is that racist, basically?
No, I don't think it's racist. I think was it Bill Maher that had a big old thing about this? It was pretty interesting. I think it was more of a political move. I think he did it deliberately, obviously, to change it from this corona COVID virus to the China virus or Chinese virus, whatever he kept saying. I think it was more of a political move than it was an actual race thing. You know, it's had unintended consequences, apparently, in the United States with some anti-Chinese backlash a little bit. But no, I don't particularly find it racist to be called a lot of viruses by their origin or place of origin. I guess you could have, it just doesn't. I think it's just one of those stories that they're throwing in front of us as kind of a smokescreen. Because some really important shit's probably happening behind it, but
bro, listen. I feel this is a joke. Period. It's a joke. And let me ask another question. This guy from CNA, the black guy, Don Lemon. Okay, I hate that fucking motherfucker for real. Okay, that piece of shit. You know, and my question is, he's black, right?
Yep.
Right. He's so. Black, yep. But. His boyfriend or his husband or whatever it is, he's white.
Yep.
And his in-laws are white. And he works for the white network. And all his friends, I look on Instagram, all his friends are white. And everything that he has is white. And all the friends or his husbands are white. And then he talks like white. And my question is, dude, you're the racist one. You know what I'm saying? He cannot stop talking about race. It's every day race. And it's funny because Morgan Freeman talked to him one day. They had an interview, and Morgan Freeman says to him, bro, if the country really wouldn't be racist, you and I wouldn't be here. So what are you talking about? They give us an opportunity. So the country's not racist at all. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be here.
So, like, a little bit of racism or a percentage an amount of racism isn't racism unless it's total and complete.
Look, I got to tell you something. I'm black. I'm a Spanish. I'm a, you know, the worst of the worst, okay? I'm an immigrant, all right?
I'm black, and I'm an immigrant, and I'm not the worst. I don't know. I'm speaking for me.
But you're not Cuban.
I'm telling you one thing, okay? I never put the race card because I feel it's an excuse. It's an excuse for the weak to put that excuse because he wasn't be able to do that. Like, for example, for like, I'm gonna give you you cannot get that girl. Maybe it's because she didn't really like me. It's not because I'm black or blue or yellow. She didn't like me. The girl didn't like me. But I go back to the table and I tell my friends, oh, you know, she didn't like me because she's racist. No, dude. She didn't like you because you probably wasn't her type. Or you probably had money or probably whatever. And stop with the fucking excuse of race. It's like, for example, like Deontay Wilder, who has it like this guy? He's a multi-millionaire. He has a ton of money. He had about 10 different cars, 14 different cars. He's got so many penthouses. He's got a girlfriend or a wife that she's basically white. He's just, you know, she can be white, but whatever, right? And then he'd always bring the race card. Dude, this country gave you the opportunity and the infrastructure to have all that money, to be famous, to pay for you when you fight. So where's the race? Where's the race? Yes, okay. I understand back in the days it was a lot of racial issues, and I understand that it was
still is, Hector.
Eve, what are your thoughts on that?
I feel it's
ridiculous is when these Negro peons start talking about racism does not exist in this country anymore. This country.
I would tell you it's a difference. Like, for example, if you and I are in the hood, and everybody's black, and you see four white guys walking in our hood. Those four guys, they're white. They're probably gonna get shot, or they're probably gonna get bullied. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing here?
Probably gonna nothing. You know,
yeah, you know why? Because they're different. It's not because it's a racial issue. They're different. Like, for example, if you and I were rich, we're super rich, and you see this bum walking in our neighborhood, you're gonna be like, hey, dude, fuck off. You don't belong here. It's nothing about race. It's like, we're different. So I do believe in differences. I don't believe in race anymore. A black person with money can do whatever the fuck you want. A white person with no money cannot do shit. So I believe in differences.
So mostly... Here's the problem with that logic. Just because classism exists does not mean that racism doesn't exist. They both exist, and they both play into the world in different aspects, in different ways, at different levels, at different times. But like to say that it doesn't exist, that's just asinine. That's retarded.
So let me ask you a question, okay? Don't you think that the people from the NBA, right? The black guys from the NBA. They don't want to hang out with white guys. They always want to hang out with black guys, all right? You know that. So do you kind of call them racist because they just would like to hang out with their own?
I'm not. Okay. So Hector, hold up. No, hold on. You're presenting a straw man argument where you're stacking the chips and you're saying you're using something very simple. People like to hang out with people that they know and people that they understand. People.
Hey,
like,
that's what I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
That has nothing to do with racism, though, right? Okay, just because a lot of black people live together and hang out with other black people, that doesn't mean they hate white people and vice versa. But in where the system is written and the way things are, right? If you look at communities, right? And the way that communities are attacked and used, gentrification is a racist thing. And gentrification happens to poor black and brown people.
This is what I'm trying to say. For example, I gotta explain it to you. Okay? Like when Cubans, right? If you see Cubans hanging out at the gym, almost all Cubans gotta hang out with each other. And you gotta see a bunch of Brazilians, they gotta hang out with each other. It's not because of the race. It's because
of culture and language.
Exactly. It's because they don't have...
Can you answer a question I got?
That's the difference. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's difference where it's coming down to.
Yeah, and you're talking about a specific thing. And they're not talking about that thing.
Hector, we're not allowed Cody to respond.
All right.
Can he join the debate also? Can he now be a part of the debate?
He's our third party.
I'm no longer a judge. I'm like Cecil Peoples out here throwing chairs.
Yeah, you're our third party. All right, Cody.
One of the things I do in my classroom when we have certain units on certain topics, whether we're talking about Reconstruction era, whether we're talking about Civil Rights era, or just any really time, and we look at race in almost every kind of period of history in our country. But I always ask the class. And it always startles them. I always say, like, why are minorities poor? And then I just stare at them. And they kind of look at me. Did he really just say that? And I say, statistically, why are minorities poor? If we fix all the problems back in the 60s, then why are minorities still poor, Hector? Unless you're going to say that they're stupid or lazy or something like that and show that you're a racist, if you're not a racist,
We're talking about social difference. Let me go back to what I was.
Wait, hold on. So hold on, Hector. So Cody, then what do you tell them after that?
And then we talk about the history and we show the history of things like redlining. We look at things like obviously the civil rights movement and that fight. But if you look at the civil rights movement and where it ended when Martin Luther King was assassinated, he was transitioning the movement away from just equality in public places and education and things like that. And he was talking about looking, economic equality is, Robert Kennedy said it best when he said economic equality is just as much a part of this whole concept as racial equality.
We have that now. That's a pass. Okay. That's a pass. We have that now. Like a black
person.
A black person can name a money in the
You put tape on it.
My person. We have that now.
Let me finish.
Hector is actually sweating right now profusely, you can tell.
Stop talking about the past. And stop. That's why Martin Luther King, died to equality. And we have that equality. And that's what I'm trying to fucking say.
We have equality.
Yes, we do. You as a black athlete can make more money than me being white. Yes or no?
So you're using anecdotal.
We as athletes, and I'm black and you're white. If I'm better than you, I gotta get paid more than you. Yes or no?
JJ Watt was the highest paid defensive end.
It doesn't really matter the color of the skin no more.
That has nothing to do with it.
Stop.
We can't talk at the same time. Okay? So here's the thing. Just because when you want to present, when you want to present a professional athlete, right, who's paid by performance, this color of your skin does not matter. It matters about your performance, and that's just it. That has nothing to do with the real world. Neither does it have to do with
our work. If you're good at work, I want to hire you. I want to hire the best. I don't give a fuck if you're yellow, blue, or purple.
Hector, hold on. Okay. So.
Those are past. You know that.
here's the problem, Hector, right? Here's the problem. You want to talk about all these things that you see in the public and in the front of people, right? But like when we talk about job applications and resumes, right? And a Fortune 500 company, and this resume comes across the desk. Let me finish. If I finish, you'll get your example, right? So when something comes across the desk, a resume comes across the desk, and it says Deontay Jackson, and the other one says Chad Mellington, and all the qualifications are the same in this Fortune 500 company, right? More often than not, they're going to go with Chad fucking Pennington or whatever. Because Deontay Jackson doesn't sound like somebody necessarily they want in that company. That thing happens. That happens. And to say that it doesn't is retarded. Here's another thing. Here's a question I have for you, Hector. Do you still think Michelle Obama is a man?
I do.
Story. I am done. I win.
All right, drop the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to the next question. I did not expect that question to bring so much heat, dude.
Wait,
Tyler.
Could you let him explain why she's the man?
Yeah, why is she a man?
Bro, check the records, man. I just got to tell you. You go and check
4chan the records. 4chan said so. Okay?
Who?
No, 4chan. Let him ask. Tyler, let him finish. How is she a man? For real.
Listen, I don't want to get into that right now. I already answered the question. This is what I believe, okay? And going back to the subject, because I don't want to just leave it like this. You know that you're not talking the truth. You know, like,
no,
today.
I know that I am speaking the truth.
If you are more capable than me, you're going to get the job.
That's not what we're talking about.
You watch The Apprentice?
No.
Do you watch Apprentice? You know how many black people?
No, I don't, because I don't watch.
So there was a lot of black people. They went further than the white people, and that was Trump.
Cool.
But he didn't really care about.
Heck, hold on. Like what you're saying, right? Somebody could be nice to you, right? Talk about nigga this, nigga that, and all this other shit, like within your face, and they could just be nice to you, and because of that, they're not racist. Like, fucking ridiculous. You know? Like,
I don't believe so.
Of course you don't believe that. Like, you've already demonstrated that, and I accept that, but like,
I came from Cuba, right?
Yeah.
And I will tell you something that a lot of Cubans, they will agree with me. Okay. In Cuba, No, maybe like 1% of people in Cuba are really white, okay? Then maybe 1% of people are really white.
I'm from the Bahamas. We have the same thing.
They're mixed, you know?
I bet you they're rich, though. I bet you most of the rich people in Cuba are white, or at least a lot of them.
You know, you bring already another unknown sense, because...
Well, how do you think they got white? You heard of colonialism?
Let me explain to you. You know history, right? And you know, like, right now in America, there's a lot of rich athletes, there's a lot of rich entrepreneurs that are black. Why? Because they got the opportunity, not long ago, but they have the opportunity now that, you know.
Instead
of looking at the entire economy or the entire society and structure as a whole.
I'm not talking
about one black guy who made it, you know, and is rich because he's an athlete or because he became an entrepreneur. I'm talking about on a large scale, macro perspective. Minorities are not rich. They're not on the upper end. What are you talking about?
Let me finish. So what I was trying to say, you have a lot of rich people now that are black. But if you put like 50 years ago, it would be maybe a third, maybe a quarter what it is. And if you put like 60, 70 years ago, it would be maybe 1%. Why? Because it was a slavery. You don't have the shot, you don't have the opportunity. So when Eve comes to me and he says, oh, of course, you know, I bet they're white. you can have more rich white collar skin people because it was a lot of slavery in the past. Not that we have it anymore, but it was a lot of slavery in the past. As times goes on, you're gonna see like nobody gives a fuck about color of the skin anymore. Everybody's gotta be rich, you know, whether it's you black, blue, yellow, whatever. Nobody cares about it. And that's what I'm trying to say. Yes, of course, like the back you go, the backwards you go, you're gonna see like a lot less rich black people.
Not if you go to before colonialism, but here's the thing, right? when you say that, like now you see more black people with money. At the same time, it goes back to what Cody's saying. Yeah, you may see more black people with money now, but at the same time, you still see a shit ton more black people without money and with nothing because those communities are abused, and neglected. And that's the fact. And it's simply because they are a minority. Black, brown, like all these different communities. They don't get the support. They don't like when people talk about like think about the LA riots. And I know some of you guys may be too young. I don't know how old you are, Cody, but the LA riots, right? Like everybody's like, why do they always tear up their own stuff? And blah, 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 blah. Because they ain't going to let them go into Bel Air and Beverly Hills and tear up shit. If people started leaving Inglewood or if people started leaving South Central and started moving into Hollywood and that area, then the police would have shut that shit down real quick. But they also don't own those areas. Like you go into any minority community and that community is not owned by the community. The community is owned by people who take that money and take that bag home at the end of the day.
All right, like, you know, I just want to be with you for a minute, okay? You agree with me that right now there is no more racial issues, right?
No, absolutely not.
And whoever make a comment about it is
when I say absolutely not, I say absolutely like, not agree with you.
This is the most Trump argument ever. All right, so we're in agreement that there's no reason. Right.
No, the actual question was: is China virus? Is saying China virus racist? But I asked that 47 minutes ago.
What's the next question?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna move on to the next question. I know racism is a very touchy subject. Everybody's very passionate.
Well, listen, can I say that I think the best part about
this show? She didn't let me because I'm fat.
Here's the best part about the show, right? The best part is that we're all talking about this, okay? So here we are. We got three pro fighters, and we're all able to talk about how we feel and our opinions, and that's fucking awesome.
Yes, so, I agree.
Just so you know, this is way better than keeping it to ourselves. Go on.
Before we go into another subject, all right? Yes. Eve, let me ask you a question. It's a lot of conspiracy right now because John Jones got pulled over to the side, and now everybody on the internet saying like, oh yeah, he got pulled over because he's black. I disagree with it. You know, he got pulled over because it's a lot of people getting pulled over. I get pulled over a lot of times. I bet you get pulled over. And you cannot bring the excuse like, oh, I got pulled over because I'm black. That's a bullshit statement.
Hold on. I have a response to that, right?
Okay, go ahead.
I've been pulled over for speeding before, right? Hold on. Let me finish. Don't just jump on one part because that part tastes good, right? I got pulled over before for speeding. I've also gotten pulled over before for being black, right? Not the same time.
But was it by a cop or like a fat white girl?
Huh? I've actually been in the car with my ex-wife driving down a highway in Utah, and a cop drives the other way, and I'm like, that dude's gonna pull me over. And what does he do? Because he looked me right in the eyes and he saw my white ex-wife sitting next to me, and he flipped that car around. I told him he was gonna pull me over. And he was looking for a reason, right? But like, there's been other times when I've been speeding and going over the speed limit, and I got pulled over. I got pulled over not wearing my seatbelt by a black cop, right? Who I 100% believe he wasn't a Negropean. But, like, it just is what it is. But, like, did John Jones get pulled over because he was black? I don't know. But he did fuck up when he got pulled over, right?
John Jones got got walked onto because his car was parked because he was shooting a gun.
Okay, so. See, I don't follow pop culture. I don't follow even MMA news. I follow fight news, you know? I don't care why John Jones
got that's what I'm trying to say.
That doesn't count, dude. You can't – if people are saying he got pulled over because he was black or stupid.
I know, but –
if he has an argument that racism doesn't exist, it's also stupid.
They always bring in that subject, like, oh, you know, you do something wrong, and then if you're black, oh, well, you know, they did it because he's black. No, Mo, you did it because you fucked up.
Okay, so Hector, here's my question where that's concerned, right? So if crack and cocaine are the same thing, why, and crack is like in poor communities, black and brown communities, and cocaine is in white communities, why is the punishment three times as much for crack, or even 10 times as much in certain places at times for crack than it was for cocaine?
Good question.
You don't think race has anything to do with that?
Because cocaine's fun.
You don't think social economics has anything to do with that? Like, racism exists. Cool, don't act like racism don't exist anymore just because it doesn't affect your day-to-day life. Like, people who look like you and people who look like me, they have to deal with racism every day. And because they have less money, less celebrity, and they're less notable. Like,
let me ask you a question. What color skin I am?
You're brown.
No, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, I'm not white. So I'll suffer for the same shit.
Yeah.
But I don't call it racist. I call it like, that's the way it is. That is the way it is. And this is what I'm trying to explain you.
That is the way it is. And the way it is racist.
In the gym. We can be Cubans, say you can be white, blue, yellow, whatever. We as Cubans, we understand each other.
Yeah, what I think Hector's trying to say, and I agree to an extent, is that the opportunity is there for all Americans. If you want to pick up, the opportunity is there. If you want to, but of course, it's going to be a lot harder for certain people.
Some people have more opportunity at the same time.
People have more opportunity, and if you're, and I think one of the inherent problems is, and Cody, maybe back me up, is teachers. The poor communities get the worst teachers because people don't want to teach in those communities. So then they get screwed because their education's fucked from like day one. Whereas if you go to Beverly Hills and they pay more, you'll probably get a higher caliber of a teacher. So wouldn't that be an example of how if you're poor and you're kind of screwed from like the get-go, Cody?
Well, to kind of build on that, you know, schools for the longest time in this country on a basic level have been funded by property tax. And so if you don't have a lot of property tax in the community, that school is going to receive less funding. And they've tried to do different things to pump money into schools, but
it's not about money at the end of the day, right?
Hold on.
No race.
What did you say?
It's all about money at the end of the day, not race.
It's about race and not money. It's about money, not race at the end of the day. It's about money.
It's about funding, you know, properly funding a school, which could include teacher salaries.
No. Can you be with me? I said it's all about money at the end of the day.
Correct. Correct. It's all about money at the end of the day. But what he's explaining is where the money comes from and how the system is rigged to make sure that money never gets to the places that it needs to be.
But listen, let's be serious here, okay? If you had to do a private class with you and you pay $100 for my private, I gotta spend more time with you. If you come to the normal class, I'm like, you like another one, right? It's all at the end of the day, it's money. It's money, it's not like, I don't really care if you can be blue. You blue and you pay me a $200 for a private class and you blue, I gotta take care of you. I'm taking care of you, bro. If you
Hector, one of these days I hope you will have a member of white
blonde, man. White blonde, beautiful, and you like a paying like the fee for like a fucking membership, I don't give a fuck about it, right? But if you pay me
that teacher.
You pay me like the $300 private, come to my big fucking penthouse like LeBron. I mean, I take care of you. I'm just licking you. I'm licking your fingers. You know what I mean? And you can be black. I don't give a fuck. It's all about money. This is my point. What I'm trying to say in life today, it's all about fucking money. And I don't give a fuck what anybody says. It's the truth.
Cody?
You can be blue, yellow, purple, whatever the fuck you want. You know, you only got to have money. And when you have money, you got to live in your private island and nobody can fucking come there.
Cody?
You can be like a fucking, the darkest man in the planet.
We're going to let Cody respond and then we're going to go to the next question, goddammit.
Yeah, I don't really know what he's talking about.
I'm talking about money. It's money at the end of the day. It's all about money at the end of the day.
It's not all about money. What are you talking about? I mean, do you mean the system or do you mean you as an individual?
The system.
The system, you, me, everything. Everything, goddammit.
I have a very quick question that is relevant and it's on my mind.
Hector, by the way, before we go on, Hector, every time you scream, it scratches a little bit. So if you could, okay.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Everybody here has seen The Wire, correct?
I have not.
I haven't.
It's very, go watch The Wire. And,
thank you, Tyler.
And you'll understand what Cody's trying to talk about, right?
All right. Joe?
What did he say?
Nothing.
There's a question.
The
Wire, Hector.
Fuck me. Question number four. God, I'm never going to work for CNN or any of this shit. Moderating shit is too hard.
All right.
You work for NBC.
NBC. All right. Question number four. God damn. With this goes to Cody. I'll let Cody respond first. I'll give you 47 minutes also.
That's racist. You've been calling Kobe 3 times before me.
I'm trying to go back and forth. Hector goes first and Cody goes first.
I'm playing the game.
Okay. Anyways, question number four. With Bernie Sanders dropping out of the 2020 presidential race, former Vice President Joe Biden is now the presumed Democratic nominee. How do you see a Trump versus Biden presidential race play out? Cody.
I don't think it's going to play out well for Biden. I mean, we'll see. Coronavirus kind of throws a wrench in everything. But I think there's a sizable amount of people from the left who are more of the progressive wing. And there's more of those people who won't vote for Biden than maybe the turnaround that the centrists would have had to come with Bernie. And I just think he's going to get obliterated in any debates they have. He's definitely showing signs of, fatigue. Some people are saying dementia. I don't know if I want to go that far, but he doesn't make sense in a lot of these videos. He screws up a lot. And I just think it's going to be easy. I do think that Donald Trump is one of the most, he knows how to work a camera, how to work an audience better than probably any president in history. And he shines in debate. Whether he's right or wrong on policy is irrelevant because of his ability behind the camera. He spent most of his life on reality television. So I don't really see it going well for Biden. I mean, the country is essentially split between political parties. And Trump is going to lose some base in the Rust Belt, which I was trying to talk about earlier. But I think that most likely, I mean, depending on the economy, I guess, and things could change. But I would be surprised if Biden's the guy to take down Trump.
All right, Hector Lombard, your very short and brief 90-second response. How do you see a Trump versus Biden presidential race play out?
Because I was trying to make a point. You guys still don't understand that today is all about money.
No, we're past that question.
All right, so I feel like they want to set it up. I feel like, and my words, these fucking Democrats, they want to do a voting through email, like,
well, during a pandemic, maybe not standing in lines
with an no photo ID, which is a setup for them. They want to fuck the system up and they want to implement that. And next thing you know, like, Sleepy Joe Bernie, I call him a Sleepy Joe Bernie because you don't know, like, what's going on there. It would become a president if Trump allows that to happen. I hope it doesn't, but what I'm seeing is like the Democrats want to set up the voting through mail. That's bad.
It's called an absentee ballot. It's been around in the United States for a really long time.
Yeah.
And plus we have a pandemic going on, so I don't want to stand in line like they did in Wisconsin in these long lines
not 6 feet away from each other waiting to vote. I'm going to pass on that.
It's a setup. Obviously, you don't understand. Like,
you don't know what November is going to look like, so.
When you vote, you have to show your photo ID, and it's this is serious.
I vote absentee every year, or every 2 years.
Serious? No, I don't like that mandatory voting or whatever you call it. I've been voting like that
for 12 years.
I don't like that, and that's wrong. If they're gonna implement that, that's wrong and that's illegal.
So what if you're like an old guy who can't like get to the voting booth? What does he do?
Go in a wheelchair.
How does the military go vote?
Go in the wheelchair and vote.
How would the military, the troops, how would the troops vote? None of them live at home. They don't have an address.
They can't go
march. Go stand in line.
Put a kiosk in there, or whatever they are, in that facility.
Put a kiosk in Afghanistan, is what he's saying.
It's not a bad idea.
But wait.
That's fair.
Yeah. No, listen, keep it the way it is. This is the thing, man. These Democrats, they want to shame everything that this country, you know, this country's been doing so great the way it is. Do not change it. Don't change my country, man. I love the way it is. I came here and I'm American because I like it. And I wouldn't be American today if a system like Obama would be in power. Obama, I became...
You mean?
No, I don't like that guy.
When did you become a citizen?
No, he. I'm a citizen.
When did you become a citizen?
8 months ago. So.
Congratulations, by the way.
All right, next question.
All right, next question. Oh, I'm going to regret asking this one. This is going to be another one that goes on for 3 hours. All right.
Ask it.
Fuck. All right. Hector, this goes to you first.
Oh, thank you. No racist now.
No, not at all. All right. Popular politicians such as Bernie Sanders have come out as socialists, paving the way for a modern socialist movement, especially within young Americans. What is your overall opinion on socialism versus capitalism?
I call it lying Bernie, because that's the same lie that Fidel Castro came with. Everything for you, everything for the people, everything. Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, everything. And then it doesn't work. You got it. It doesn't work. You know, free shit doesn't last. And you know that. You know, you got to get that bill where you got to pay. And if you don't pay, you got out of business. You go out of business. As simple as that. You know, there's no free lunch. And I've been telling a lot of people about it. All these young guys, they're so out of touch with reality. They are. They don't understand, you know, life. You know, they come from mommy and daddy, and then they go to school, and then an older guy goes and says, so I'm going to give you free education. You know, you're going to pay for it. They're happy. But it's not realistic. It's no realistic. It's a lie.
Cody?
So I think that it's important to note that, you know, if you look at the political spectrum of left and right, there are examples on both sides of that political spectrum that are horrible. Hitler was a far right fascist, where just as Stalin was a far left communist. And so I think it's important to not, you know, I don't think that the things Bernie Sanders was campaigning on, yes, obviously those are left-leaning, it's a left-leaning ideology. I actually think that calling himself a democratic socialist was a really bad strategic move, because it was so easy to lump him into to being a socialist. And I don't agree necessarily with everything on Bernie Sanders' platform, but when you look at things like extending educational rights to, instead of just K through 12, from, you know, preschool through 16 or 17, whatever you want to call those college years. Because I think at the end of the day, the goal of a country should be to empower people to pursue their passions in a way that's going to benefit the country the most. You know, it would be unfortunate if Einstein never went to college because he couldn't afford it. You know what I mean? Like, you want it, no matter what background or socioeconomic background or race you are, the idea is that we want people to enter professions that they have access to if that is their passion and that's what they're good at. And so extending education, the police department, the fire department, and the schools, the one I teach at, do you not believe in public education at all?
I don't believe in public education at all because it doesn't work.
Public education? I mean, like regular school?
Yeah,
like,
I thought you love this country. This country is all is public. Public education is all the people you know went through public education. I'd say 98%, 95% of them.
All right. So can I speak for a minute? Because sure. I like the way you speak. You speak very pronounced, but it doesn't really make sense. Look, listen. Nothing that Bernie was putting in the paper and nothing that he was campaigning for works. The school, you got to pay. Hospitals, you got to pay. You got to pay your, what do you do, classes? Because I see like you behind a gym or something, right? If somebody doesn't pay your gym, all right, if somebody doesn't pay your gym, if you do classes, you're not going to teach. It's simple as that. Money is what moves people, okay? And I love the system like that because I live in a system where nobody pays. Cuba, okay? This is socialist. Like, free education, but you're not going to get not even a book. Free hospitals, but you're not even going to have a bed. You don't even have a cheap. Yeah, free. It looks good, free, but there's nothing there. I live there. I born there. I know what it's like. You don't know. None of these guys, they know.
I'm not going to beat you on a battle of experiences. Obviously, you've lived under communist rule. You also lived in it was a third world country. It wasn't a first world country. So that's something to know. Yeah.
Mention me a communist because this is the mistake that you guys making. Cuba, it was a very wealthy place, you know, before Castro took over. Cuba, you know, the sugar number one is sugar, exporting sugar, and you know all these chocolates and all these that you eat come from sugar. Okay, so sugar, it was a very powerful country. Bacardi, they make about 70 kind of different. Wrongs and shit. And the list goes on. Venezuela was the number second in America behind U.S. Powerful. Very powerful country. It became second, third, and now you don't even know what number is because people cannot even eat in Venezuela. And Venezuela was so rich.
I'm not trying to advocate for communism, you know, authoritarian communism. I'm not trying to advocate for that.
It doesn't work. And the proof is there. Like Venezuela, for example, Venezuela was the second country in America behind America. It was super rich. And now people can't eat. People don't even have a soap. Why? Because the communists, a dictator, took over that country, and now the people are fucked up in there. It doesn't work. It's not because, you know, the country itself. It's because the system doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree. Communism sucks.
Okay, and that's why this fucking guy want to implement in here. I hate when somebody...
Socialism and communism are two different things, Hector. They're not the same thing.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you call it free, 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 that sounds like so. That's, and it scares me to death because I can see the lie. Because he doesn't even have a budget. He doesn't even know how it works. And I posted a video on my Instagram. You know, he talks about Sweden. He talks about Denmark. But all these countries, he doesn't even know how it works. He couldn't find an answer. So he doesn't know how Cuba works, he doesn't know how Venezuela works, but he also doesn't know how Denmark and Sweden works. It sounds good in paper, but he had no clue, he had no idea what he wanted to do. It's just
who told you
believe and lie.
Huh? Where'd you get the information that he had no idea, he doesn't understand how their system works?
I post like a brilliant video on my Instagram when he got asked, you know, a few questions that he couldn't answer.
A Breitling video, you said?
I think that's really our final question, Joe. Our final question for the day. This has been a riveting debate. I can't wait to see the results.
Really have.
It really is. It's been the most educated. I've learned so much because of you, Cody, and you, Hector, and you, Eve. And I can honestly, I agree with all of you on a lot of your points. Just you guys are all making amazing points, and thank you. Thank you for the education. Joe.
All right. So I wrote, yeah. I spent hours coming up with these questions, and we got it. Out of 10 questions, we got to question 5. So I'll save the next 5 for the next debate. For the final question, I'm going to go to who did I give first last time?
Hector.
All right, Cody. The final question.
Don't be racist on me. Don't be racist.
Final question. I'm racist, but not on this podcast. All right. The final question is: did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
No.
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 Who did?
Who killed him? Yeah. Good.
It was a ghost.
I don't know, but it wasn't him.
Well, not who. Who facilitated the kill?
The Clintons.
I don't know. Now I'm like, I don't remember. I just remember thinking it wasn't him.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't him.
All right, Hector, what do you think?
No, I just gotta put in this small little comment here. Okay, because I really get super upset where I see some people getting so hurt when I talk bad about Obama. Hey, don't get mad at me. You know, like Obama was a puppet. And the proof of it, look, Epstein, he got killed by the superpower. Okay? I just gotta leave it like that, okay? But the superpower. There is a superpower, okay, that run the presidents, they run everybody, okay?
Who gets mad when, like, that's weird because, like, I understand people,
okay,
people having their...
They get mad when I say Obama was a puppet. Obama had a lot of donors, have a lot of people that were putting money in his campaign. And then you got to pay back and you got to just, you know, do whatever these people say.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem in politics in general.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, at least Trump don't have the donors that you got to do shit for them.
He has a shit ton of tax money. What are you talking about?
He found his campaign himself.
No, he has super PACs. I can find them for you right now.
Now let me ask you a question. You know, don't you think like Obama, they never wrote a check? Obama, they doesn't know how to run a business. That he had a lot of people that put money for his campaign, had a lot more people to answer the phone than Trump.
To answer the phones?
You know what?
Yeah. When they call and say, "Hey, remember me? When are we gonna do that?" Okay, sir.
The Great America PAC, the Great America Alliance, the Senate Leadership Fund, these are all PAC. This is all corporate PAC money for getting, with the purpose of getting Trump reelected.
That wasn't my answer. That wasn't my question. My question is, he has a lot more to these people than Trump.
Do you think
but here's the reason why he said that is because you said Trump didn't have that, and he's proving that you're wrong.
No, I'm saying, and I'll go back again. I said it again. Obama had a lot more than Trump.
No, I agree with that. If we want to talk about, you know, changing the political landscape and the campaign fundraising and things like that, and how politicians operate, and that was one of the other things that I was attracted to Bernie Sanders about, was the fact that he was a grassroots movement, obviously not big enough, but he was one of the only politicians, other than some other progressives, who weren't in the pocket, essentially, of PAC money or lobbyists or big corporations. Because I think on a large scale, on both the Republican and the Democratic side, that's for the vast majority of politicians, that's how they operate. And that's
so, Cole, based on Cody's statement right there, Hector, my question to you is, does that make Bernie Sanders better than Donald Trump in the fact that he doesn't have any super PACs? He isn't getting money from anybody in that regard.
Bro, he has more than everybody else. Yeah, more than anybody else. And look it up. Oh, man. And this is what pisses me off about these filthy liars. They lie to people. They lie so much. A bunch of liars, man. And that's why I hate them all.
Well, listen, guys.
I want to tell you one thing, man. I want to tell you one thing.
Sure.
Okay?
Tell us.
As long as you grab her by, you know what I'm saying, and she like it, just let it be.
Words to live by, my friend.
Listen, this is our first political debate. Cody Gibson, you did a great job. You're awesome. Thank you for being a teacher and for being a fighter, being a role model. Hector, another amazing, outstanding job. Thank you for being you. And for all the entertaining fights and opinions and everything you do. Eve Edwards, Hall of Fame fighter, one of the best ever. Glad to get your input. Tyler, as always, my man, he's a Marine. He fought for our country. Also a wrestling coach. And Ween Dog, you did a fantastic job as our moderator.
Thank you.
I think you have a future in this. Listen.
Thank you.
Guys, be safe. We're going to have round two tomorrow. Okay, so...
Are you serious? My God.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
take care, guys.
See you guys. Take care.
Thank you.